future, in the lines of us having faith for things in the natural realm. There's a particular message I think I taught in 2015. Right? We agreed to 2015. Was that what we agreed to? 2015. She was there when I taught it first time. Well, I think it's 2015. I'm just going to teach it again because the word of God is the same. Right. Because the believer must learn to maintain the childlike heart last week. That heart that trusts God. You know, whether it be in the leading of God's Spirit or trusting God for your needs in the natural. You know, just learn to trust God. Just maintain that baby. You know, the way a child trusts the father. That's the way we ought to trust God. You know, in the natural also. You know, sometimes we get so logical and then, you know, we get so logical and calculate things out. I bet unbelievers also have these things. But you must just learn to trust God. Sometimes we tune into the natural so much, that we lose the consciousness of that supernatural meeting of needs. You know, sometimes we all get it off, we get it all figured out. If I apply for this course, and do this one, upgrade my CV, then I submit to this so company, and I know they don't take so, you know, just calculatively miscast plan. You know, but you must never let go of that consciousness of the supernatural. Is that clear? Never. You know, it's easy to trust God and to believe God while we are in church, when all we are singing is, blessed are my eyes. Obviously, your eyes have to be blessed. All we are singing is, blessed are my eyes. I'll sing the glory of God. No? It's easier. But the moment you now step into your workplace on Monday morning, that's where the trouble is. But sometimes you don't need to step to your workplace. As you're leaving church, even in church, you're just at the door after service, and you put on your device, put on the data, right? Arrow up and arrow down. Put it on, and then messages start coming. Again, so I said, you sometimes you get so logical that you just tune into the flesh. You just log into your social media platform. And there's a spirit of this age. Now, I belong to this generation well. That one of the bottom ones of this generation. But, you know, there's a spirit of this age of social media that can take away that consciousness of the supernatural. And so, your thoughts that you can actually be yielding your body supernaturally. But the moment you log into Facebook, you just see someone say, I just had a surgery, you know, free and fair. It just makes sense to you that, really, this is the things that people do now, surgery, just, you know. And social media is somewhere where you can log into and, in 2 minutes, 20 people have spoken to you. Right? I don't mean chat. I mean, you have read 20 people's thoughts. In 2 minutes. And if you're not careful, see, there's a leading of the Spirit that you must always have. You must know that the unbeliever primarily is led by the God of this world. In Ephesians 2 verse 1, it says, and you have been quickened from your trespasses, who are once led by the prince of the power of the air, right? The Spirit that now works in what? In the children of disobedience. There's a Spirit that works in unbelievers. No matter how good the advice is, he is led. Every man is led by something. Is there a man is led by the Spirit of God, or is led by another spirit? And so we are in a head where you just log in and then 20 people. In fact, diverse kinds of spirits are talking to you already. In fact, some spirits that you have led, those evil spirits have not made themselves in the world of darkness. I mean, in the kingdom of darkness. So evil spirit that you have led in 1-2 minutes, they don't mess themselves. Yeah, one guy, there's one guy. You must be careful. And that's why, if you know me very well, I'm always against, I have a very, very, I'm not social media, Bob. I have a very, very, very hard side towards a believer who is addicted to the media. You know, you just post pictures, do anything, you go. Your life is literally there. You get to the office and the first thing you want is your Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Even when you're fasting, you know, you're fasting, but you're just fasting. You are still glued to that page. You must be careful about that. You see some people praying. And they're praying. Oh! And then nothing is there. Nothing is there. What I do best. Jesus says when you pray, right? He said, you throw in your closet. I think Jesus did not get closet very well because he didn't have Facebook. So, closets will have an interview. Right? You know, some people are in their closet. And yet, in the world. Because you post on the 15,000 views. That's not your closet again. You are on the platform of the world. You know, there will be an immunity to that closet. Right? So social media can take away some realities. I'm saying, it's easy to be conscious about the supernatural. It's easy to be conscious. Oh, I forgot to mention what I'm teaching about tonight. I titled it, God will take care of me. Or God will take care of you. Or God will take care of me. Anyone. Don't you understand? Or look at God's care. You know, listen, we talk about all of that. You see, you in the service, you're saying healing. Oh, my body, the power of God is working in my bones. The power of God is doing this. The power of God is doing this. And many just log into your Instagram. You just see someone shaking bum bum. This world, double click. Ah. Double click means you are liking it. Just leave it. Some people don't even double click, but in your heart, you are triple click. Hallelujah. And so, you must be careful about that. Don't let the spirit of this age rob you of spiritual realities. Hallelujah. Don't make it hard for your pastor. Read up on now things. Then we now come. Who will now be the one pulling down stronghold? Teaching anything, stronghold. Everything, stronghold. Because you have accumulated so much wrong thinking. Poison. Stay with what the pastor is teaching. Stop running around social media. I've said that now. I've said that over and over again. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you hear. Alright. So, again, for starters, God is the Almighty. Can you say that to yourself? Just say that to yourself. God is the Almighty. You didn't say that you're strong. God is the Almighty. Yeah, He is. He's the Almighty. He's the Almighty God. You know, sometimes we get to say something so much that we don't even know what they mean again. Oh, I worship you, Almighty God. There is no lie. What does it mean to be Almighty? Almighty means He's mighty to do all, right? Mighty means able to do. One who has the ability to perform. Mightiness has to do with power. And so God is the Almighty. Genesis 17. What? When you say God Almighty, that's El Shaddai. That's where it's gotten from. That's the word El Shaddai. Genesis 17. And when Abraham was 90 years and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now, look at what he said to Abraham. In verse 5, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For the father of many nations have I made you, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations out of you, and kings shall come out of you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto you, and to be thy seed. Can we read verse 8 together? And I give to thee, and to thy seed after the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be unto you. Again, this is the provision of God as salvation. This is God's plan for salvation. But look at the way He puts it. You will be fruitful and exceedingly great.
That's the way he puts it.
Again, in salvation, we now see the almightiness of God. In salvation, we see the provision of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, salvation is the first demonstration of God's provision to mankind. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave. That's provision, right? He provided. While you are not even praying for it, right? While you are not even expecting, you are not even born, but God gave, he made a provision. He made a way. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 5, verse 20, it says, where sin abounds, grace abounds what? Much more. Much more. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. That is the nature of God's giving. It's always exceeding. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all we can ask or think, according to his power that works. Hallelujah. He is able to do exceeding. Ephesians 1:19, never through that. The exceeding greatness of his power at work in us. We believe, Ephesians 1:19. The power of reassurance in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heaven. Power above all principalities, a power and every name that is named in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, put all things under his feet. He's given him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that they don't know. So, God's provision is exceeding. His power is exceeding. His salvation is exceeding. It is grace that abounds much more. Hallelujah. That is the nature. So, that's one thing you must first set in your mind. He is Almighty. He doesn't need help. He is the Almighty God. And so, when you say, God will care for me, rather, you must add in your mind that he is able. You must have in your mind that he's not lacking the ability to do. God will care for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, he surpasses. He overthrows, right? Is that not the word of Babylon? Exceeded. He surpasses. He overthrows. That's just the nature of God. Then he says, my cup runs over. Hallelujah. And so, he's the all sufficient one. He's the multi breasted one. When you say El Shaddai actually means two breasts or many breasts. You know, it's got even, you know, I taught that in El Shaddai, but it's just going to listen to that teaching. Yes, now. You know, you can only suck on one breast. No matter how hungry you are, you can't feed on two breasts at the same time. Nobody can be too hungry to feed on its breast at the same time, right? And so when you say he's the multi-breasted one, it means he provides beyond your needs. You're going to need to shop on one, but he'll provide many. He's the multi-breasted. So when you say El Shaddai, you must have that in mind. That's the meaning of El Shaddai. The multi-breasted one, the God of many blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me do this tonight. Alright, so again, you know, I've always Jesus came to die for sins, right? Right? But more than also, of course, that's the primary reason why he came, to save man, to seek and save the lost. But also, he came to show us the character of God. Right? He came to show us the character of God. You see, in the life and ministry of Jesus, you will see that he showed us that God cares for us. Say, God cares for me. You know, sometimes God's word comes to you like this, to correct a notion, to correct a mindset. And I just believe that someone tonight will walk more in God's provision. I believe. All right, so, God cares for me. So, I trust the Lord's sufficient one. Yes, for me. My needs met, use speed every time. Again, you know, sometimes that may be challenging for believers. Live from paycheck to paycheck, you know, collecting one salary. The salary that is to come. The next salary has been spent. And you ha. And just look at yourself. What kind of life is that? So say, I know you are collecting money. And you look at the person, you don't know what is going on. Only God can save me.
Sometimes people don't understand. Sometimes it can be very challenging in the natural. You're born with the gift of the Spirit, nevertheless, but you're broken.
I say, ah.
Yes, I'm like, yeah. I remember watching a movie like that one time, yeah, Anointed for Broke. Yeah, you've watched that movie before. Yeah, Williams. I never broke. You're walking miracles like that, you're hungry. But God meets our needs. I just want you to believe that tonight. And so, actually, by trust God for things, will God have us lack shelter? No. No. Would God have us lack food to eat? No. How about a good job? No. He won't have us lack. How about good health? You know, health is also a thing. Natural. Health is not supernatural. It's natural. Good health is a need. If I've not been to the hospital, that's why you know that you think it's not a need. Good health is a need in the natural. And God meets all needs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You believe that tonight? You believe that tonight? So, you know, we actually can trust God for things. For a job, school fee, for that. School fee. You know? You can trust God. About admission. Yeah, you can trust God. Hallelujah. For God. You can trust God for provision. Look at what Paul said to the church in Philippi. Who are actually undergoing persecution. Philippians 4. They are under persecution. And look at what Paul said to them. Philippians 4. Can we read verse 19 together? Verse 18 to 19. Want to go? 18 to 19. Want to go? Everyone? No, I'm not hearing anybody's voice. When I say everyone should read, everyone should read. Want to go? The sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul is telling them, says, you're in persecution nevertheless. But I want you to know, God will supply your needs. You are under terror, as it were. The economy is not favorable. Things are going south. But I want you to know, God will supply your needs. How about putting that on your lips instead of worrying? How about instead of murmuring and complaining, you're just saying, I know my God will supply my needs. How about that? That'd be a better life. Right? Right? Put that word of trust on your lips. God shall supply all my needs. That's what really marks out the person who has the consciousness of the supernatural. Anybody can murmur. Doesn't take the gift of the Spirit. Doesn't take anything to murmur. Is this how we'll be doing it? This country. I'll finish young white. This is 94. I finished with 22 laps. I finished then. What else did they finish? Well, I don't know why this didn't done. But really, why did they do what I said? Okay, but let's do that. I finished also. You have a PhD person. I have PhD. I have everything. OMD, HND, PhD. What about that? PhD. You can't get a joke if you don't know what I'm saying. You have PhD too. You have all the degrees. No! Christians don't murmur. Christians trust in God. You know the way Stephen described murmuring and complaining? In Acts 7, he said, they went back to Egypt in their minds. And he was talking about murmuring. You know, we saw that during the camp meeting, right? Every murmur is the same. Worry is the same. In case you don't know. If you think it's only lying and stealing, that is the same. You're wrong. When you complain, it's the same. It's the same. He said, they went back to Egypt in their minds. They didn't go back to Egypt physically. But he said in their minds, they were back in the world. In their mind, they were doing things like a godless man. You know, it's a godless person that murmurs. It means he does not have hope. He does not have anyone to trust him. They are not godless.
and you're not fatherless.
God shall supply all your needs.
Just that you believe that tonight.
Listen, rather than murmuring and complaining, why not just keep that trust in God and believe just like Paul that God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You know, why not wake up in the morning and that's what's on your lips after your prayer chain, of course. And you're looking at your pocket. You're looking at your wallet. You know, there's a way you buy a wallet. And you want to cry, but this day is not coming. That's if you have wallet. And your money is not scattered in your bag. Okay. No, when there's no money, that's when you now start look at your clothes and say, did I forget anything? Have you ever forgotten anything? Did I forget any 15-year-old note today? But your needs are met. Your bills are paid. You know you can have that by the supernatural. Yes, it's possible. You can have your needs met supernaturally. I'm not talking about miracle money, because I mean someone will meet your needs. You know, God still meets needs. God still pays bills. Hallelujah. Yes, he still meets me. I don't know about my story. Right in school, a particular time I was fasting. Fasting not because I was spiritual. You know, fasting, you have never been there. I mean, real fasting. Fasting because you just have to fast. There's really nothing. You're already slow. You're slow on cash. So you have to be fast. So I was just fasting. I will break with water. Then we don't break with water. Water is part of the fast. Then I will break with water. Sometimes watermelon. I don't know how to break. Really. The natural and the supernatural. I don't know how to fast. I don't know how to beg. It's not pride, it's not ego. It's just the way I was brought up. I was brought up not to covet the neighbor's property. And so no matter what you are really in life, it really shakes me. Because that's where I was just brought up, even in natural. Then much more the word of God now has worked on me. So I don't know really how to beg. So I'll break watermelon is still 15 naira. Diverse kind of fruits. Not of the spirit, fruits from natural trees. And that Friday, I just finished preaching. A very wonderful time. I laid hands on the sick, and I was sick, hungry. And the sickness is hunger. But you don't know, really. There's an energy, if you're a preacher, you know, there's an energy that comes to preaching. I know you have a color of God. No, you're feeling gloomy and all, and you go to preach. You can remember everything after preaching, though. The younger will come after preaching, but that's how you are preaching. Don't do that! In the name of Jesus, take it! Do you? Don't that bad man, I like that. Hey! God, boy! Calorie that you have to keep. I'm losing fast. And you see, particularly sister just brought. I've said this story, man. That's like, every time I say it, she's getting dressed. You know? And she just brought. That rise and a four that's diversity, diarrheas. You know, he needs his mama, he needs fish, he needs, that's the one spirit, one cooler. I know that, it's not needed, And she said something remarkable. She said, no, God asked me to bring it. That still touches me today. God asked me to bring it. And so, see how God met my need. Now, that might be insignificant to you. But on that day, on that day, you have never been, this is what I'm saying, on that day, I first went to 36. I said, you are the Almighty God. Who wants to fight me? Save your name, O Shah. I will pray to you tonight. Thanksgiving. Now, the issue was more than the rice. I could actually go like that 3 weeks. The issue was, God asked her to bring it. And so we can have our needs, no matter how significant or how giant it is, we can have them met. Hello. So you go with that consciousness, instead of grumbling. Jesus actually showed us that in John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, at the wedding at the Cana of Galilee, you know what happened? They ran out of wine. In John chapter 2, they ran out of wine, and Jesus' mother, of course, knowing the character and the nature of God, went to Jesus and said, run out of wine. No, that's shame. That's something that brings shame, right? It's like saying the scoop is not complete. It's like saying they're about to chase you out of the house because of you're going to be in rain, of course. It's like saying those people be so something. No, just something. Then they ran out of wine. You know what Jesus did? He gave them wine. And that wine was scooped up along. So sweeter. Hallelujah. It was more. It was more, so much that of course they could bath with it after the party. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so God meets needs. In John 6, how about you? Jesus was not preaching. And the men were hungry. 5,000 men to be precise. Not counting the women and the children. They were hungry. They were thirsty for the natural bread. And Jesus multiplied loaves and fishes. He multiplied it. And he gave them and you are filled. And there were 12 baskets left over. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. And so whether your need is food, wine, or yours is now different. School fee, a new apartment, something you've been believing God for, good health, like in John chapter 9, the man that was born blind from his mother's womb, and Jesus encountered the man in John chapter 9, and he laid hands and he healed him. But that's not healing. That's a miracle. He has never seen. Hallelujah. So, what else? You know, sometimes, as a believer, that else is failing, and you know it. You stand in your hands and shake it, and it's not food. You know? Hey, never, don't Google your symptoms. Never Google your symptoms, please. It's bad. That's correct. Quite a number of patients. Don't Google your symptoms. You end up coming down with something worse than you have. You tell yourself, I have HIV and AIDS. There's no use that. It's kata. You know, it's the spirit of this age. Spirit of fear. You just flood your mind with fear. What you really keep, that's what kills much people. I think I hypochondric fear. So hallelujah. You know, and so, rather than Google symptoms, why not take that time to pray? Why not take that time to receive healing? Because sometimes we misplace priorities and do the wrong things. God will take care of you. Let it be on your lips so much. Let it become your handling, your creed. God will take care of you. You know, everybody, or your circle of friends, you should not have such friends though. But look, they're complaining, your colleagues at work, everybody's in murmuring, and you just come and laugh, say, what's happening? And say, you two can't you see? You say, God will take care of me. You know, sometimes people make jokes of you. And what's this one say? You're not realistic. God's word is my reality. God's word is the reality. There's nothing more real to me than what God says. That's my reality. Majority are not always right. Majority were not right in Egypt. Majority was not in Israel. Majority was not right in the times of Jesus. Majority said crucify him. Obviously. In a way they are right, sir. Because he has to die. But majority are not always right in the Bible. God said, when I called Abraham, I called him alone. He didn't call Lot. He called Abraham. And so whatever Lot says must not affect Abraham. So you stand on God's word, in spite of or despite the person that is opposing it. God's word is true and 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 true for me. That's what is true for me. If he says he will supply my needs, I believe and I receive. If he says I will not lack, I believe and I receive. If he says my health is steady, stable, I can be high and stable, I believe and I receive. If he says my family is doing fine, I believe and I receive. If he says the evil will not come near me, I believe and I receive. I'm preserving my going and my coming in. I believe and I receive. You must maintain God's thoughts. You must want it. And you must see it. Hallelujah. Okay, we need to learn and trust God. We need to learn to trust God. Look at Luke chapter 5. Peter's case. They toiled all night already. You know. They toiled all night. They were skilled fishermen. Luke 5. They wanted to catch fish. Alright, so, again. Luke 5. So, they've toiled all night. They've toiled all night. And Jesus came. And said, can I use your boat? You know, that's the time to say, I'll be so.
I said, I'm not eating today. You are asking me, can I use your phone to call my disciples? You know, and he said, can I just use your sheep? He said, we'll use it. The sheep will not have value. And when he was done teaching, he said, what's happening? He said, we have toiled all night. There's nothing. And Jesus says, cast your nets. And of course, there was abundance. Net breaking harvest. Hallelujah. Net breaking harvest. And so, you can just trust God today to meet your needs in natural. Those bills, you can trust God for them. No? Christians don't give up, like I said. What do Christians do? Huh? They trust God. Alright. So I trust God to take care of my needs. Trust God to take care of my bills. Take care of my health. Take care of my family. Take care of my work. And I trust God for me. Alright. You must have to do away with worry. Worry is not Christ-like. It's for the godless. So we trust God. So if I have a need, what do I do? You were talking about God will take care of me, right? Right? So if I have a need, what do I do? You must learn to take God by His word. Primarily, we said that. That 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your cares upon Him. For He cares for you. God cares for me. So what do I do when a need arises? I must use my mouth. No, you always have what you say. Mark 11. Let's really look at Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Waiting for you. Are you gonna? Let's go. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. It's the law of faith. We have what you say. So when a need arises, what you say matters. What's in your mouth? What do you say? 12 spies went to Canaan. And 10 out of them, what did they see? They said, we are like grasshoppers. And so they were. That's what the Bible says. Moses was there. And so they were. 2 came back. And they came back saying, we trust God to overcome. Majority are not with them. Most of the time, you're trusting God and you're standing on God's word, and people are mocking you. The same people will now come back to you and say, how did he do it? But if you are giving up, if you have joined the multitude, you know, you just become like them. When God called you out of the world, He didn't call you to become like the world. So sometimes you gotta be different. You will have what you say. We are like that, so far, so. You would have called that logical reasoning. You know, you just say, it's logical. It just makes sense. Nobody gets this kind of job this way. No, it's just logical. But logic does not always win. Sometimes what you call logic is the spirit of this world. No, all people can sound quite intelligent. I've an element, and then you will say, wow, this is just normal. This is logical. This. You must always have your mind. He is led by something. What leads the unbeliever is the prince of the power of the head. The spirit that works in the children of disobedience. He will have an experience. He will quote, he will give you reference. It's in 1965. So detail. So right in 2019, it's just apparently, and with accents. He is led by a demon with accents. And then with accents, he tell you, and so, well, according to Wikipedia, so don't apply for the job, really. Just focus on what you hear. Unbelievable! Go back. You have what you say. Now, I'm not saying, what's going to apply for bank manager with GSC? Why? I have what I say, I'm your manager. Okay. Help us manage that broom. That broom and the mopping stick. Manage them, that's the office. Hallelujah! But you can have what you say. You can have it. So you must use your words. Put God's word in your mouth. No, healing is gotten through words. Woman who had the issue of blood in Mark 5, she kept saying to herself. She kept saying that. That's the way it was written in the Greek. She did it once. As she was driving, she was saying it. I'm not saying that in the contemporary world. As in the kitchen, she's saying, only if I can touch coming.
She kept saying to herself, others were saying another thing. She was not the only person that taught Jesus. Obviously, as Jesus was going, he was going to the house of Jairus. Because pastors could look on. Everybody around him. He said, please, let's pass the pass. Oh, man of God. But someone else came with a different motive. Those are times you have one people and the power of God is actually present. And you're not you. Not you. And the person is not you. And the power, like in Luke 5, the Bible says the power of God was present to heal. And the Pharisees. By saying the power of God was present to heal, that means Pharisees were sick. Somebody was sick. And only one person had to come through the roof. You must be deliberate about what you want. So you put God's word in your mouth. God will take care of you. Are you ready to be taken care of? If you put God's word in your mouth, you put it in your mouth. It's not enough for him to say, I will give you the land. What do you see? He said he will give you the land, but you see yourself as grasshopper. Grasshoppers don't possess land. And so you must see yourself in God's picture. Hallelujah. You say the right words. Needs can be met through words. What are the pathway of the miraculous? Words. The miraculous can be wrought with words. What do you say? You hear what you say. He says, if you say to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea. That means you even give direction to the mountain. This issue, I don't want to see you again. This thing, I don't want to see you again. Be gone. You will give direction to the problem. He didn't say talk about the mountain. They speak to the mountain. There are two different things. Talking about the mountain is to complain. You say, you see your colleagues at work saying, I don't even understand the thing. I don't even get where my life is going. I don't even know what's happening to me. That is the language of someone who is fatherless. You have a father.
I got that old song. I have a father, almighty father. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have a father.
Just take one more time.
I have a father, almighty father. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
So you don't act like the fatherless. Listen, when there's a need arises, whether health, whether provision, whatever it is, peace of mind. No, peace of mind is underrated. If you have ever been under duress, you will know what peace of mind is. It's underrated. I know what I'm saying. Peace of mind. You know, you actually can speak the mountain. And you have what you say. Stop saying evil. Stop expecting evil. Some believers expect it. So I already know where it will end. Let me just try it. So you're going for an interview and you have already marked yourself not employed. Akonika apply none. Akonika shame on. What that means is that we just said we should do it. I just want to do it. It's not like they will take me. I just said I should apply. Stop expecting him. Just trust in God. And so you use your word, put the right words in your mouth. The power of God is working my body. How about saying that? This is my asthma. No, I've told you many times it's not your asthma, right? It's your healing. It's not your asthma. It's not your ulcer. It's not your ulcer. It's your healing. My lungs are working fine. No. My kidney is working fine. My appendix is working fine. My bones are strong. My bones are strong. My eye is working fine. My ears are working fine. My nose is working fine. My teeth is strong. How about that? No, there's nothing to underrate. My teeth is strong. No, I'm doing fine. I will keep getting better. No, those are what you put on your lips. You have what you say. What if everything you say comes to pass? What if? And they say, are we going to make it in the year like this? Ba-bang, ba-bang, not making it. They say, things are hard though. Ba-bang, ba-bang, things are hard. And they say, everything is working for you. So you're stepping out of work to work in the morning, early morning. God traffic, they say, what kind of day is this? It's too early. It's too early. I say, everything is working together for my good. Everything is working together for my good. Everything is working together for my good. No, God shall supply my needs. I won't live in lack. How about that? Well, that's a way, that's actually a good way to take care of your day. That's a good way to take your life. Praise God. And so, whether it's healing, why not say God's work is, God's power that work in my body, effecting on healing and a cure? How about that? Use the right words. My needs are met. My bills are paid. How about that? Look at Mary. Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke 1:37. Let's look at that. Let's start from verse 30. I'll be fast. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth the son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he shall be great. And shall be called the son of God. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, unto his kingdom, there shall be no end. That's 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall these things be seen? I know not the man. And the angel said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also the holy thing that shall be brought out of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be possible. And Mary said unto her, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to the word. Hallelujah. You receive what God gives. I got to go where I got it in 2015. He said, if Mary did not want it, she won't be the virgin. She won't be the one. God will use another person. You must yield to what God gives. Look at her response. Be it unto me according to your word. What did the angel just say? With God, nothing is impossible. What you call impossibility is because of the perspective you have from. With the one who is almighty, nothing will be impossible. And what is he talking about? A miracle, right? There's a miracle for a virgin to have a child. And so with God, no miracle is impossible. With God, no miracle. How about have that strong mindset? With God, nothing shall be impossible. And look at the response. Be it of me according to your word. How about you also maintaining that lifestyle? And God says something. He said, I believe and I receive. I believe and I receive. I believe and I receive. You will not lack. I believe and I receive. Your needs are supplied. I believe and I receive. You know, that saying, be it unto me according to your word. Your word has said it. I believe it. That settles it. That settles it. And so you must maintain that strong resolution to act on God's word. To trust God. No one will trust God actually gives Christ. You will use your words. You will trust with your words. Has he said it? What did he say? I believe it. I believe your word. I believe your word. You know, my family is kept safe from evil. I believe your word. I believe your word. I'm doing fine in the natural. I believe your word. I believe your word. I believe your word. I believe your word, Lord. I believe your word. Kept from all evil. I believe your word. I'm preserved and kept away from all evil. I believe your word. My health is sound. Soundness is what typifies my health. I believe your word. I believe your word. I believe your word. I don't have any weak moments. I don't have any weak moments. My bones are not weak. There's no part of my body that is weak. There's no part of my body that is sickly. I believe your word. I believe your word. I believe your word. I believe and I receive. That's the attitude of the miraculous. You believe and you receive. And so God will take care of you. You believe and receive that. You believe and you receive that. So also learn to act on God's word. You act on it. Caleb and Joshua. They did not just say, Oh God, give us the land. What did they now do? They went for it. They now went to possess the land. Don't just sit down. I believe and I receive. You didn't submit CV to anybody. You're looking for a job? You didn't submit CV to anybody? You didn't. I believe and I receive. I receive. I believe and I receive. In the morning, I wash your plate. 6 a.m., you are washing plate. Job is coming. You're just like saying you are looking for admission into the University of Lagos. And you didn't put the University of Lagos in town. Which miracle are you looking for? The university you put is Otumokwe.
University of whatever. Uptununu land. Somewhere in the park. He said, but you believe God for something? He said, yes. University of Lagos, in the land. We are the Akokai. But I'm seeing your journey from Uptununu land. I believe and I receive. Not that one. You act on the word. Peter already had the boat. He had the net. At thy word is now, cast your net. Jesus will not say, cast your net to the person who is trekking on the road. He was already at the workplace, right? He was already doing things diligently. He toiled all night. He was not lazy. Now he says, cast your net. And so, what do you need arise? I ask for the word. He has told you, give me the line, I go for the line, right? Right? He will say, cast your net to the right side, so I have a net. I have a net to cast. And so that's the way to act on the word. Is that clear? So God takes care of us. Do exercise doubt and miss out on the miraculous. God takes care of us. Don't lazy around, expecting miracle money. Work, and God will now prosper the work of the hands. Work, and God will now prosper the work of the hands. Do you believe that? I prosper the work of my hands? I thought you would say that. So God takes care of us. Hallelujah. Be it unto me according to your word. The word of God says it. Will supply my needs. I say, be it unto me. The word of God says, I will live in good health. Then be it unto me. Be it unto me according to your word. In Mark 11, 23, again, we were coming from. What's on them? Say, for God has said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart. Don't say you are poor. Don't say it. You used to say you are poor. Why not say God shall supply my needs? It almost takes the same breath. So we are too poor. We are not. Why not say God will supply my needs? God will meet my family at the point of our needs. God will meet my business at the point of my needs. How about that? Stop affirming lack. Affirm God's supply even while it seems like everything is lacking. Affirm that your lungs and kidneys are working fine. Affirm abundance. No doubt. No doubt here. Just faith. Only faith. No doubt here. No doubt here. God said this about my health. No doubt. No doubt. I believe and I receive that. God says this about my work. I believe and I receive that. God says this about my family. No, you're expecting, you're trusting God for your marriage, you know. No. Just believe and receive. Rather than submit to the flesh and start statics and too much of logic, okay, at the age of, I've told you, don't set timelines for yourself. That's the, if you want to miss God's plan, set timelines. The devil knows how to meet goals. And he will meet the goal and you will think it's God. He will do that because of the next one, because of a greater purpose. Hallelujah. You know, I wonder what was predicted June 12th. I mean, predicted the event, predicted almost the day. It's not the God of this world, really. The devil knows how to rearrange. He's the God of this world, really. You know how to rearrange the like, meet deadlines. So don't put yourself under pressure. Trust in God. Believe, receive, will guide you. He's always there. Inside you to guide you. He's always there. He's always there. God does not speak from the external, right? Right? Because God is in. So where do we speak from? In. So just listen to that teaching. I want to recommend that. From today till Sunday, please everyone listen to obeying the leading of the Spirit. I thought that this year. Obeying the leading of the Spirit. Please assure you this is that. So don't set thesis. Just trust God. Don't say, if this one now calls, I will go for this one. If this thing works out, if this company, then that means it's God. No, that's Gideon. We are not the Gideon generation. Rico. That's Gideon. He set thesis. You know what the devil does? Whatever you say already has. I'm very sure Joseph and Mary did not tell anybody we're going to Egypt. Else just like the kid in Egypt. But as you already say, he spoke to the God of this world. And so you tell this, if this one happens and this one, then that means it's God. The devil will arrange that circumstance. And it will happen just like he said. And he said, I received it. So don't tell this is for yourself. Walk on God's word, trust in him, and believe on his word. Let's invest. Look at verse 24. He now says,
Therefore, I say unto you,
look at the Bible says,
whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that what? Believe that you receive, and you shall what? Depends on who it is. It means both the start of a miracle and the receiving of a miracle, and if you want the miracle to stop, is in your hands. Whatever you desire, say ask. Say pray. Whatever things you desire, when you what? Pray. It isn't when you talk about it. It isn't when you write about it. When you pray, you believe that you receive, and you will have what you say. See, you have them. That's what he said. If you want something, ask for it. Trusting God for something, then pray. Pray believing that you receive. So, the adding of the things is totally on you. You determine when the miracle starts and when it stops. It is whatsoever things you desire. So, what are you desiring? What are you desiring? Let's lecture to you tonight. Wait. What do you desire? Your desires are not my desire. Right? Your desires are not my desire. So, what do you desire? This is when you pray. When you pray, believe that you receive. So, there's an attitude in prayer. The attitude is the attitude of one who is going to receive. No doubt. That's what he said in verse 23. He said, you don't doubt in your heart. Don't say, what? You got to it. The you are praying. You are already calculating. Okay, I know the money will come from my uncle. That is not prayer again. That is calculation. You trust in God for cash and you're already thinking, I already know the three people that will give me. No! How about just... You just pray. You are talking to your Father. Remember, where we started from is the Almighty God. Right? He does things and surpasses your talent. Right? You see that? Right? You see that the start of the miracle is in your hands. And we see that God will take care of you. Will take care of you. So don't walk up yourself. Don't burn out. Don't burn out. Because sometimes you can think out. You are breathing the entire life. You say, this age. This. What's happening to me? I'm part that age, I said. Don't burn out. When you pray, believe that you will see. And you are. You are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You believe for that thing, for that job, for that awesome family, for that bill to be paid. You know, you can trust God. It's just a simple heart of devotion. Simple devotion. Like a father to a child. That's simplicity. Don't complicate it. Don't speak too much English. Don't complicate it. Don't speak in tongues. When you have a need, don't speak in tongues. I think I've said that before, right? Don't speak in tongues. Say it. Say it. Is that clear? Say it. Father, I want this. This is what I want. Hallelujah. Say it. My God is working in my body. No? Every good thought. Speak it out. It was so much in my head. I had to get it out. I told you, don't respond to thoughts with thoughts. Don't respond to thoughts with thoughts. We respond to thoughts with words. With words. When thoughts come, you put out the word of God. Yes, get it again, you say that. Let's get it again. You think I'm joking? And in fact, my right now, I'll be like, man, I'll pay you a dash. Don't just do right, right? The right, don't mind what I'm saying. Yeah, so I pray. No, that ought to be attitude. Don't entertain thoughts. Don't entertain thoughts that negate God's plan for your life. Don't entertain thoughts that do not affirm God's word. And God is telling you, this is the way this will be. Nothing can change. No. What Jesus showed us that He doesn't want anybody to see. And so that condition is not yours. Don't personalize the sickness. And don't try to make it God's will. Tonight we'll call sickness like what it is. Sickness. That's his name. And it's not from God. No matter what it is, it's not from God. And so call it by its name. And get a stranger heart. How about lack? No. Hand to mouth. No! You actually can have your needs met. You can have to give. That's what Paul said. Revelation 4:28. He said, let it that steals no more. That you may have to give. That's God's plan for us. Right? You have something to give. Give, you know, you are taking care of yourself. Right? Because that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16. Right? According as God has prospered you. That's how you give. So that means what Paul says, that you may have to give. That means you already have that. God has prospered you. You can have that. Don't let the spirit of this age enter that spiritual reality. I trust in the Almighty God. Lastly, Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Remember, we're coming from Mark 11:24. Whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive. This 4:6. Where is it, brother? Together, once again, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known of God. Another version will say, be anxious for nothing. It's an instruction, it's a commandment, it's not an advice. It's not advising you, it's an instruction. The way he says, do not kill, that's the way he's telling you. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious about bad health. Don't be anxious about lack of cash. Then he tells you what to do. In everything, prayer and supplication. Sometimes we jump to the prayer and supplication and we forget that he first of all said, don't be anxious. There's an attitude to the prayer. The prayer and supplication will be useless if you didn't obey the first one. The prayer in anxiety does not get answered. James says, a double-minded man cannot receive anything from God. Say that wavers is like a rose of the sea. A double-minded man cannot receive anything from God. And so, my approach to prayer will first to be not be anxious. How about going to pray like your children? That's how to pray. Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, in every circumstance, we bear supplication. We thank you because you make your request known of God. So you have requests, then you have something to pray about. If there's anything that can make you anxious, then it's something that should make you pray. It should not make you anxious. If there's something that is possible to cause agitations, anxiety, and well, then that thing should cause you to pray. Be anxious for nothing. It's God's word for you tonight. Nothing is bigger than the Almighty God. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. In every circumstance, rather than worry, always resolve to pray. There is an attitude to pray. You believe that you will see, right? Without doubt. Without anxiety, you go and you make your petitions. God cares for me. He cares for his own. My needs are met. My dues are paid. The power of God is working. The power of God is working in the natural. It's changing situations. No needs met. Needs paid. You believe that? So God takes care of my needs. You know, God takes care of my health. God takes care of me. God takes care of my family. My work is prospering. Everything is working for my good, you know. Nothing is lacking, nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. God's word, God's power is at work. As far as walking. But what is walking? He's walking. You know? Be it unto me according to your word. Your word says, I'll have peace of mind, peace of heart. Your word says, I'll have, you know, myself and my family will serve the Lord. And that means we are well. I trust your word. I believe in your word. I believe and I receive that which you give. I believe and I receive needs met, bills paid, no lack. Just supply. What I have here is trust in you, God. You know, I'm not anxious. I'm not doubtful. I trust in the God that meets needs. The all-sufficient one, the mighty one, the multi-breasted one. I trust that you provide. I trust that you heal. No, I trust that you make whole. I trust that you give peace of mind. Let's go ahead and pray for yourself. Let's pray for yourself tonight.